I know you're out there. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
Connecting the dots of the Constitution for you like no one else can. The Chris Ann Hall Show. American woman, listen what I say. She's an attorney, a disabled U.S. Army veteran, an author, public speaker, mother, pastor's wife, and a patriot. She's Chris Ann Hall.
Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal. Chris Ann Hall here, KRISANNEHALL.com. Liberty over security, principle over party, and truth over your favorite personality. I am here with my husband and co-host, J.C. Hall, and we're going to bring to you the current events the way you need to hear them. Truth, Constitution, and Liberty. And speaking of truth, Constitution, and Liberty, I am reminded, J.C., of a Bible verse that says, judge not that ye not be not judged, for with that judgment ye judged, ye shall be judged. Isn't that the same as people in glass houses shall not should not throw stones?
Right.
And here we have, I'm pretty sure that when we started into all of this Kavanaugh stuff, I said on the radio show several times, these Dems, they're opening up a can of worms. They probably don't want to. Now, I'm happy that they've opened up this can of worms, but nonetheless, I said from the very beginning they're really, really going to regret it. And what has just happened? A Democrat congressional staffer has been arrested and charged with doxing three GOP senators, Orrin Hatch, Mike Lee, and Lindsey Graham. For those of you who don't know, doxing is simply the release of personal private information over the internet. It's an abbreviation for document tracing.
Yeah, I've been looking at, and some of it's a bit complicated because you can have sort of broad categories and mm-hmm. things you do, things you leak, and I've been trying to dig into the statutes and different things, and looks like, just like in any other quote unquote crime or whatever, mm-hmm. You have to consider intent. So apparently intent gets involved, mm-hmm. and then also where the source of your information and how it was accessed.
Yeah, not only that, for doxing, it's not even necessary that anyone ever found the information. It's one of those things. It's not actually necessary that someone actually saw it. Like you said, it's the idea that you're trying to publish the home address, social security number, phone number, mobile phone number, personal email, home or fax number identifiable to that individual.
Yeah, because Donald Trump famously gave out Lindsey Graham's cell phone number mm-hmm. in 2015, I think, in the debates or what have you. And digging around in that, it's kind of gray. It's not clear that was a crime, but something like that could be a crime depending on intent,
well,
source. So there are those,
well,
elements.
What I found was that
doxing
is always illegal. It doesn't have to be on a public official. It doesn't have to be on a federal agent. Now here it is,
yeah, but I'm digging
federal
around,
crime.
But when I'm digging around in these statutes, and one of the problems is, what is doxing?
Right.
Right. So if I'm there and I speak out, I'm like he did, I'd just share his personal phone number, whatever. Again, as I look at this, you know, because it says with the intent to whatever. So all of that comes into play. And so it's a little gray
there. Well, let's be clear. The intent perspective is not an intent to harm. The intent perspective is an intent to make public.
Right.
So if you intend to make it public, and if from what I'm understanding from these statutes, the criminality is whether that information is anonymous, whether it's hidden or sealed or not public. So once something is already public,
yeah,
then it can't be doxing.
Yeah, and that's what I mean by source. So like, right, if the person, see, because there's another kind of gray thing. Well, the person gave me their phone number.
Mm-hmm.
Is it private anymore?
No. The privacy has to be a matter of, is it already accessible to the public?
Right.
So if you give me your phone number and I publish it, it's never been published before.
So it is quite possible.
It is quite possible.
Donald Trump committed a crime.
Committed a crime.
In 2015 when he released that personal cell phone of Lindsey Graham.
It is quite possible.
Now, Lindsey Graham laughed it off.
Yeah.
Back then.
Well, again, and it's a matter of, is somebody going to file charges?
Sure.
Right? Because if Lindsey Graham just laughed it off, whether he did it for political reasons or personal reasons,
yeah,
you know, we don't know if he was having a tirade on in his office after it happened, and or just simply had his number changed.
I don't remember if he was on Saturday Night Live or somewhere, but I think, if I remember correctly, he famously took a hammer and smashed up his phone, or he destroyed his phone somehow like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if it was that phone, but he did that on TV.
So here's this thing. This congressional staffer, his name is Jackson Cosco. He's 27 years old. He's actually been arrested by Capitol Police and for publishing Lindsey Graham, Orrin Hatch, and Mike Lee's home address and home phone numbers. The Capitol Police actually published his arrest. And he's been charged with making public restricted personal information, which is the doxing part, witness tampering, threats to in interstate communications, unauthorized access of a government computer, identity theft, second-degree burglary, and unlawful entry. It happened during last Thursday's session of the Senate Judiciary Committee. And what's interesting is that Jackson Cosco actually worked not only for Sheila Jackson Lee, but worked for Maggie Hassan and also Barbara Boxer.
Yeah.
So we got three big Dems that this guy worked for and had access to all this information and has committed this crime.
Yeah. And which is kind of a higher level than what we're talking about, what Trump did may not be, because you're talking about apparently accessing unauthorized information on government servers, using these government computers to do this. So he's got a lot of I looked at, they said they're filing these charges, and it was like, I don't know, seven or eight different things that they're charging.
Yeah, that's what with. I just read all those charges off, and so it is, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven charges.
Yeah,
he's being charged with seven, and these are serious
crimes. I'm
trying
to count. I remember it was a lot. You're running through that, man. I saw that the first time. It was like, man, this guy has got a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, these are not small crimes either. Now, I will say that I won't say Donald Trump, but someone in Donald Trump's position, right? Mm-hmm. He could be a defense. He gave me his phone number. I didn't know it wasn't public.
Sure.
Right? So that's a defense where this Costco guy does not have that defense.
It's where the intent comes in.
Right. So the Costco guy does not have this defense because apparently he had unauthorized access to government computers, and he's being charged with second-degree burglary and unlawful entry. So I'm wondering how he was retired when this happened. Okay, so he wasn't even...
Really?
Yes, he was retired when this happened.
Wow.
According to RT and according to HuffPo... according to The Hill. Both RT and The Hill say that he was no longer working in. So I'm thinking that's where the burglary and the unlawful entry came in.
Not even supposed to be there.
He wasn't even supposed to be there.
Wow.
And so maybe he used an old pass card somebody didn't delete or somebody, he got in somehow.
The interesting thing is when it first came out, the IT people, I saw a journalist, one of these IT journalists, mm-hmm. reporting that the information came from the block of IP addresses assigned to Maxine Waters.
Right,
so
right.
you may have had a Sheila Jackson Lee aide mm-hmm. get into Maxine Waters' office's computers and release this stuff. I mean, maybe this guy was trying to shield Sheila Jackson Lee and, hey, if I happen to get caught, it'll go over there and not to our office.
Yeah, so I think that's where the unlawful entry and the second-degree burglary comes from.
Man.
Now, remember, typically when we think of burglary, we think of going into somebody's house or going into somebody's car.
Somewhere you're not supposed to, having access to something you're not supposed to.
But burglary in this sense could be into the very computer, right? So now you're entering into, unlawful entry into the
that's a good question.
System, right? So there's a lot of questions here, but this person is not a happy guy right now. Mm. 7 federal charges. Like I said, this is a federal crime. I will say for the record, for all the people who like to know that I'm staying true to the principles, this would be an applicable federal crime within federal boundaries, especially here in D.C.,
It's not a state crime.
Because this happened in Washington, D.C., this is not something that would be a state issue. This is actually, by the way, proper jurisdiction for the FBI, proper jurisdiction for federal crimes, right?
Yeah.
So remember, within the 10-mile square of Washington, D.C., that's where federal crimes primarily exist. And so we're going to talk about some more stuff when we get back from the break. Thanks for coming in and sharing today with us. We will be right back. Welcome back to the Chris Ann Hall Show. Chris Ann Hall here, KrisAnnHall.com. I am Chris Ann Hall, and I am here with my husband and co-host, JC Hall. And we are super excited to have you here with us today. And again, we want to say thank you to everybody who makes what we do possible. We can't do what we do without your support. That's just listening to the show and sharing the show, and even your financial support helps us. This is a full-time job for us, giving you this information, traveling and teaching and speaking, and we can't do that without your help. So chrisannhall.com is where you get everything you need. And so here we now have Mitch McConnell has last night, this is Thursday, isn't it?
Today is Thursday.
Oh, my goodness. Traveling from South Dakota, which really wasn't an easy feat because we flew into Denver. We drove to South Dakota. We drove all through South Dakota, and then we flew out of Omaha, Nebraska to Washington, D.C. And then we spent, you spent how many days? 3 days in Washington. I spent 2 days in Washington, D.C. I was disappointed that we didn't have time to go down to the Supreme Court building while we were there. I really wanted to see all of the lefty loons down there. It was interesting. We were in Washington, D.C. Oh my goodness, we stayed at the Trump Hotel.
Yeah, it was amazing.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
You
can think he's a lousy president, but man, he makes good hotels.
Oh, he's an amazing businessman. You know what I
not that he actually, you know, swung the hammer or whatever.
No, but you have to, you saw his influence.
Yeah, definitely.
You saw,
definitely.
I mean, our toilet had goldish handles and
yeah,
I mean,
For me, I was thinking the staff and just how operated, man.
The staff was just, I mean, for me, as we travel across America, we have, in the last 8 years, we've stayed more in hotels than we have in our own home. Never anywhere. I mean, I'm talking the Waldorf Astoria in New York City. We have never, ever seen service like this.
Yeah,
I don't know how you feel, but you...
No, it was top notch. Yeah. They had a manager there. The guy takes his office in the lobby.
That's who he was?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
He doesn't go to his office. He sits. He's got a table out there and sits just amongst the guests and the employees and whatever. And he's got his laptop and he's doing his work and he's doing all this stuff, man. And he's right there.
Never even asked. I thought, man, that dude is always on the computer in the lobby. Doesn't he have a room or something?
Yeah, so
so now he's the manager.
Right. Yeah. So employees, man, they're doing their job every second because he's not hiding, so they can't hide.
We got the Uber. Colton and I got out of the Uber and three people came to help us out of the car.
Amazing.
We walked into the hotel. There were three people trying to help us get to where we needed to go.
Yeah.
And that was the way it was. Every time you come out of the elevator, if you looked even like you had no idea, you know, you were questioning, had a question in your mind, somebody came up to you. How are you today, ma'am? Can I please help you find something or help you do something? And it was just amazing.
And Colton got a Trump Hotels
ball
cap.
They gave him a Trump hotel hat.
So we were wearing. He was wearing that, you know, on the way out in the airport and around, and it never quite, you know, fully triggered any lefty, but you could see the looks, you know, and so we were kind of waiting, like it's gonna happen sooner or later. I know somebody's gonna say something.
I have to tell you, we were standing in line at the airport waiting to board the plane, and he's got his hat on and he's like adjusting it, and you could tell he was like touching it and trying to get like
drawing attention.
Yeah, he's like, Daddy says some lefty's probably gonna say something. He said, I kind of hope they do.
Yeah, it says Trump in big letters.
Yeah.
And then hotels, you know, in small, if you don't look closely,
you
don't really notice where it says hotels, just big Trump.
It's
not red. It's not the red hat.
Yeah, that's what I told him. I said, you probably don't have anything to worry about. It's not the big Make America Great hat. And I said, I don't know that the lefties can read that small print.
Like, right.
So anyway, here we are.
But speaking of D.C., we got the Kavanaugh.
Here we almost ran through the whole segment.
Kavanaugh thing's moving forward again.
It is. Mitch McConnell filed for cloture last night, which means today is the day of no vote.
Right.
And today is also the day where the FBI report is in the hands of the Senate Judiciary Committee. And we're going to talk about that when we get back.
There again, men tear up our constitution, and from every direction we cry revolution. Standing together and without permission, soldiers for truth in the war of attrition, the love of our country as our
The Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Oh, but I'm only a stranger here. I'm a long, long way from my home. And I'm going to change
Welcome back to the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal. Man, we just have so much fun. Do you know somebody? Somebody on Facebook said, Chris Ann, you and JC are so cute together. I was like, yeah, I'm sure JC is the ones we call cute.
Sorry. Appreciate it.
We appreciate that very much. And I want to tell you, it's just, for me, it's just a joy every day to come to work and work with my husband. You know, 6 years.
Of course it is.
Of course it is. And he has no ego. For 6 years, I did this by myself. Mm. And it's just so much more fun to have. I know why people have co-hosts. Yeah. Because
I had
six
a church
years,
to pastor.
Like, oh, yeah.
Haitians to preach to.
Yeah. 6 years staring at my computer and not having anybody. And I know you guys, and you have to enjoy this more.
Yeah.
Because I'm happier about it. So.
Yeah. Now, you know, and I haven't really talked about this much on the air, and I plan to at some point, but I've moved over to Global Impact Ministries
right.
International on the mission side of what we do. And so because of the, well, right now I'm just trying to build that up so that,
right.
you know, I'm able to do that. But, you know, the different kind of arrangement allows me to be able to, help in the radio show. And then of course,
and with the traveling and the teaching as well.
Yeah. And so, but you know, even so with technology, you know, I can still be somewhere else and participate in the radio show. And so anyway, it's good. But we'll talk more about Global at some point. But I was looking at Jamie Dupree's status.
I'm a big fan of Jamie Dupree.
Yeah, I don't know, guys out there, if you know. But so Jamie Dupree is a reporter from our area. He's from Jacksonville area. He's on
a couple of stations. Even know that.
Yeah, he's on station down here.
I didn't know he started here.
I think. But anyway, he's sort of a Washington insider reporter, and man, if you want to stay up to date, if you want to know what's going on right there on the ground, man, this guy's
he doesn't have a partisan bent.
He's not a partisan guy.
He's all procedural. He just tells you how it works.
Yep, and I have found anyone better. He's great. Jamie Dupree, Jamie Dupree, Dupree.
Is he .com, JamieDupree.com or something like that?
I think he does have a website like that. You know, because
you tell us what he says, and I'll find his website.
It's interesting. Some kind of mystery illness actually took his voice away,
mm-hmm.
and he's got some little thing now where he's able to communicate. It's really cool. But but he's awesome. Jamie Dupree. He's on Facebook and Twitter. But if you guys want to, you know, anytime I want to know what's happening right now on the ground, where does it stand? He's the guy to go to.
It's actually jamiedupree.blog.wsbradio.com.
Yeah, WSB.
WSBradio.com.
I think that's the Atlanta.
Yeah. So what does he tell
station.
Us about what's happening here?
Yeah, so it's pretty much what we were, you know, we went over this, the procedure and the thing. So we had talked about, I think two shows ago, that McConnell would have to file for cloture on Wednesday to have any hopes mm-hmm. of getting a vote on Friday because
right.
of, you know, 24 hours after that.
The no vote day.
They can't vote. Then mm-hmm. they vote the next day 1 hour after opening the thing, and then it starts 30 hours, whatever. So McConnell did file Wednesday, but it was very late Wednesday,
uh-huh.
right? So it looks like, according to Jamie Dupree, he says, my best estimate for a final vote on Kavanaugh is Saturday night, which would line up with what we were saying. Now, the interesting part he talks about here is, you know, the FBI report has come back, like you mentioned at the close of the last segment. The FBI report's come back. These
right.
guys are looking at it. And the word is there's nothing new in the FBI review on Judge Kavanaugh. And Republicans say it's time to vote. And Jamie Dupree says, Collins seems to be amenable to moving forward, as is Flake, but they're coming back to read more. No GOP senator has given a signal that they're going to jump ship. Democrats are using the argument that the review was too limited. So,
well, here's how the review was limited. So what the Democrats are saying is there was absolutely no interview with Ford. There was no interview with any of her witnesses. So this was a supplemental background investigation that simply, as a background check would, really only involve Kavanaugh. And so Ford's attorney said in the statement, an FBI supplemental background investigation that did not include an interview of Ford, nor the witnesses who corroborate her testimony, cannot be called an investigation. We are profoundly disappointed that after tremendous sacrifice she made in coming forward, those directing the FBI investigation were not interested in seeking the truth. So here's the problem. The FBI has done absolutely nothing to clear up the controversy in all of this. And I think in not simply interviewing Ford of all people in this investigation, they're actually perpetuating the controversy in all of this.
So has Ford never spoken to the FBI? Is that what they're saying?
That's what I'm gleaning from this statement from her attorney, that they didn't, you know, he didn't make, they did not do him in, or interview her in this supplemental investigation.
Uh-huh.
So here's.
But didn't she, how did this all come about? Because didn't they introduce some sort of written thing that she, what she alleges? And then, of course, she sat in front of the Senate. The Judiciary Committee,
yeah, but that didn't
said
go,
all of this stuff.
Yeah, but that did not go through the FBI.
But I'm saying this is all official record.
Right.
Are they saying there's something else she needs to say to them directly that she has not said in official public record?
Well, that would be an interesting twist, right? So my thing is that, hey, interview her under oath and compare her testimony with her written statement.
But you said something very key, I think, here, mm-hmm. okay? It's a Kavanaugh
background
investigation,
right.
which is distinct from a criminal investigation. We've been saying this all along.
That's right.
So the person, let's say it like this, the agency that would need to talk to Ford is the agency with which she has filed a criminal complaint.
Exactly.
And she has not. And that would be local Maryland law enforcement.
That's right. And so once again, here we have this convolution of criminal and background check.
And it shines the light to me. It shines the light on the fact that she's playing a purely political, I don't want to say game, but it's just they themselves are keeping it completely within the political realm.
Right.
If she says a crime is committed, I want this to be investigated. And she alone holds the lever to make that happen, and that is take your little butt down to the place in Maryland where you say this happens and fill out a stinking police report. It's not that difficult. Her lawyer, if this guy is any bit of a lawyer, should turn to her and say this. So this is constant confirmation to me that is purely political. It continues to undermine her credibility. If you are her lawyer and you want her to be credible, you would be turning to her and say, we have to go to Maryland law enforcement and file a police report, and then we will get the investigation that we continue to demand. So
this,
they are not credible, and it's a bunch of it's dishonesty, really.
Well, I was just about to say, I think it highlights the disingenuous nature
there's the word I'm trying to.
Disingenuous nature of everything that's happening, because remember, we've been talking about how the man deserves due process, that these quasi-political hack and their leading and directed questions are not due process. And now all of a sudden you've got Ford's attorney saying this is not due process, right? Well, of course it's not due process. I'll throw the same thing back at you that you were throwing back at us. Of course it's not due process, because it's simply a congressional hearing.
Because you haven't filed a police report, moron.
Right, exactly.
You want due process. You wanted to follow what it's supposed to. You're saying you wanted to follow. Then get in the system. The system is the criminal process, the criminal justice system. Go file a stinking police report.
And this is exactly what the Senate Judiciary Committee should have said from the beginning.
Yeah.
They should have said this from the beginning. You have these accusations against Mr. Kavanaugh. Ms. Ford, these are very serious accusations. These are criminal accusations. Go file your police report, and then we will bring this up as a matter of question, because we are not the appropriate body to be handling these kinds of issues.
Explain this to me from the perspective of an attorney. You know, I hear this phrase. I've heard this kind of concept as long as you've been practicing law. This concept of the attorney being required to do their due diligence.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, don't we have a problem here with this attorney? This is somehow, I don't know what the term is. It looks like malpractice to me. How can you continue? You're standing out there on one side, issuing all these statements and demanding these investigations, and you apparently not one single time have turned to your client and said, Mrs. Ford, the way this process actually works, and it's my duty to inform you that you must first file a police report. So that needs to be step one.
Yeah, well,
we
don't know that he didn't
okay,
do that.
Okay, assuming, right?
We don't know that he didn't do
that.
What
we do know is it's not happening.
Right.
Right? And
which
so,
would be her choice, not her attorney's
sure.
choice.
So there'd be a question. I guess here's the way I'd phrase it to you. Wouldn't there be a question? So say if in some parallel universe there was some sort of accountability mm-hmm. process for attorneys, someone would look at this attorney and say, counselor, at some point, did you advise your client file a police report?
That would not be a permissible question because of attorney-client
sure.
privilege. But here's what should have happened. We had all the Democrat congressmen screaming at Kavanaugh to create his own investigation.
Right.
The truly legally liberty-minded, due process-minded congressman should have looked at Ms. Ford and said,
the onus is,
did you file a police
yeah,
report?
The onus is on her.
Are you going to file a police report?
Yeah.
Why are you not filing a police report? So these are the things that ought to have been asked as we during this hearing.
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Welcome back to the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal. We are at the last segment of our show and so happy that you have spent these 30 minutes with us. And once again, I think what we're seeing here is the disingenuous at best, if not completely deceitful practices
yes.
of certain congressmen who scream, this is not due process. But then when the FBI does a background investigation on Kavanaugh as a background investigation, which is the limit of their jurisdiction, you have the same people screaming that this is not due process.
Yeah. And I think another bad sign for Democrats and good sign for Republicans. Susan Collins has characterized, this is according to CNN now, a report out today, that Susan Collins has characterized the FBI investigation that's come back as, quote, a very thorough investigation. Senator Jeff Flake, who is kicked off all this stuff, apparently, they asked him if he was inclined to support Kavanaugh after leaving the briefing on the FBI report. Are you inclined to support Kavanaugh? He said, quote, we've seen no additional corroborating information to the claims against Kavanaugh.
Yeah, and here's the
thing.
Although
he added he needs to finish reviewing the material.
Right, Right.
So I think that's a signal from these Republicans that people were worried about.
Right.
That I, as Jamie Dupree said, the edge is still to Kavanaugh.
Right. And not only that, I'm hoping that the American people will see once again the exposure of the politicization of this process rather than the true constitutional nature of it. I just wanted to mention, just as we close out this segment today on Kavanaugh, that there are, where is that? There are 1,700 law professors who have written an open letter to senators urging them to reject Kavanaugh's nomination, citing aggressive and partisan testimony to the Senate Judiciary Committee as evidence that he doesn't have the temperament required to be a Supreme Court justice.
So 1,700 law professors mention nothing about his Fourth Amendment stance.
Thank you.
They mention nothing about the fact that he subjugates the Constitution to precedent.
But it's mentioned nothing about the fact that he agrees in the expansion of federal power to include health care.
But they're concerned that he sounds too angry.
That he sounds too angry. Yeah, so that's why you spend too much time with me, JC. That's exactly. Yeah. And I'm hoping you guys out there who are listening are like, oh, great. 1,700 law professors. They're all female, by the way. 1,700 female law professors are angry that Kavanaugh is too angry, but they're not angry that he has a very alarming view on the Fourth Amendment and that he subjugates the Constitution with precedent.
But and so that gives you an indication of the state of our law schools. What they're
Amen.
Teaching is this lefty emotional nonsense.
Snowflake law.
And they're not teaching any of our future attorneys anything about the Constitution.
Oh, my goodness. I've been teaching that now for quite some time. Now, hello, we don't teach the Constitution in law school. We teach gender law. We teach sexual orientation
yeah.
law. We teach all of these very specialized but agenda-driven stuff. Harvard doesn't even require constitutional law to be taken by a law student in order to graduate. You don't even have to take a constitutional law class at Harvard, but you have to take foreign law and you have to take some kind of gender study law.
Yeah, well. And it's, it's also telling that you search most of the headlines and there's nothing about, why this lady has not filed a police report.
Right.
Because there's not that constitutional view. They don't even, it's all political. They don't even care about the legal process.
You know, this just points out to me how pathetic the Republicans are at doing what they do as well. I mean, there's nothing wrong with asking this woman for a police report or pointing out the fact that she hadn't. Well, I hope that we've been able to bring to you today some things that you weren't hearing and aren't hearing anywhere else, but we believe that they're very, very important to understanding how all this works. So God bless you guys. It is Thursday, so we will see you again on Saturday.
Let me know. America, America, I gave my best to you.